Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
She had learned early that not everyone would believe her. At 20 years old, she knew how her story sounded. She understood the assumptions people made when they heard her age, her certainty, the way she spoke about things most people preferred to explain away. She no longer tried to convince anyone. Belief didn't matter. What she lived with was real to her, and that reality shaped every part of her life. Her childhood began in her grandmother's house in Kelso, Washington. The house was old, built in 1900, and it carried that age openly. It creaked when people moved through it. The air felt different upstairs than it did below. The downstairs living room was dim, no matter the time of day, while the kitchen was bright and open, spilling out into a wide backyard where children could run without thinking about walls or corners. Her grandmother, Ginger, believed in ghosts without hesitation. She spoke about them casually, the way some people spoke about weather or neighbors. She warned her grandchildren to stay away from Ouija boards, not with fear, but with certainty. Some doors, she said, didn't close once they were opened. Her father had grown up in that house, too, and he carried his own stories, though he insisted he didn't believe in ghosts. One story in particular lingered in the family memory. He had been a teenager when it happened. Late one afternoon, he was alone in his upstairs bedroom when he heard someone running up the stairs. The house made distinct sounds, and anyone who lived there long enough learned to recognize them. Running footsteps had a rhythm. He assumed it was his cousin, who was staying over at the time. He waited for the knock on his door. It never came. Eventually irritated, he stepped into the hallway and checked the other bedroom. No one was there. His cousin was downstairs. As he turned back into his room and shut the door, he heard the sound of chains rattling on the other side. Annoyed more than frightened, he opened the door, expecting to see the chain that once hung on the frame, but it had been removed years earlier. He never spoke of it again. Years later, a photograph taken in front of the house showed her younger brother standing on the lawn. When the picture was developed, another figure stood beside him, a young boy wearing what looked like a cloth diaper with chains and shackles around his wrists and ankles, and her grandmother insisted the photo be burned, not out of denial, out of protection. From that point on, her brother was watched constantly. Adults hovered, eyes followed him from room to room. And while everyone focused on keeping him safe, she was left alone. She had always been different. She knew things before they happened. Small things at first. The phone ringing seconds before it did, answering questions before her brother ever asked them. As a child, she slept upstairs in her grandparents' bedroom, curled on the floor. She believed the adults she saw walking in and out of the room were glimpses of moments yet to happen. The future bleeding backward into the present. Her grandmother believed she was sleepwalking until she began talking to them, not mumbling, not whispering, conversing. Her mother questioned it. Her grandmother dismissed it until one night she took a photograph. The image came back flooded with strange, bright shapes that no one could explain. Her grandmother didn't ask questions after that. Not long after, her grandmother became too frail to manage the stairs and moved into the downstairs bedroom. Her grandfather remained upstairs, sleeping alone. It was in the loft that she began waking every morning at exactly 3 o'clock. She didn't know why. She stayed awake until a little after 4, then fell asleep again, night after night. Eventually, fear crept in. One night, she decided to sleep in her grandfather's room instead. That was when she saw it, a shadow at the end of his bed. At first, she thought it was light playing tricks on her eyes. Then it turned, 2 red eyes locked onto her, bright and unblinking. She didn't remember the rest of that night clearly, but after that, everything changed. She began seeing things everywhere. Accidents no one else noticed. People dying in plain sight while the world moved on around them. Sometimes someone else would see it too, but only after it had been happening for a while. Her grandfather fell ill soon after and moved out. Her grandmother insisted she take his room. By then, she believed she understood ghosts. She wasn't afraid of them anymore. Until she woke to find a girl her age sitting on the edge of her bed. The girl faced away from her. When she asked who she was, there was no response. She got up to get water and saw the girl's face. Red eyes, she begged her to leave. And she did. When her family finally moved into a trailer of their own, she believed she had escaped the house, but the presence did not care about walls or addresses. The harmless figures were replaced by darker ones, shapeless, heavy, angry. Moving again didn't help. Visiting her grandmother didn't help either. The night her grandmother admitted the ghosts were real was the night everything erupted. Doors slammed, furniture fell. A lamp struck her grandmother's head. The house reacted with violence, as if angered by contradiction. They never spoke of ghosts again. Her grandmother was gone now, and her parents were divorced. She lived in an apartment in Longview with her mother and brother, and she was still being visited, not by the girl, by something else, something that could touch her. The first time she realized this presence was different, she was sitting in an auditorium. It was an open mic night, nothing more than a small gathering of students and locals waiting their turn to perform. She had arrived early and taken a seat near the front, hands folded in her lap, focusing on slowing her breathing. The room buzzed with quiet conversation and nervous energy, the kind that always filled spaces just before something began. That was when the cold hit her. It wasn't a draft. It wasn't subtle. It slammed into the back of her shoulders like someone had stepped directly behind her and exhaled. The chill cut through her clothes and into her skin, sharp enough that she gasped. She turned. There was no one there. The auditorium had 4 doors, all of them heavy, all of them loud. None had opened. None led outside. There was no reasonable way for air that cold to have entered the room at all. She turned back to face the stage, trying to steady herself. She told herself to breathe, to stay grounded, to let it pass. A few seconds later, the girl sitting behind her quietly stood up and moved to another row. A moment after that, a lock of her hair lifted from the back of her neck, rose slowly, and fell forward over her shoulder, as if brushed aside by an unseen hand. That was the moment she knew. The girl who visited her, the one with red eyes, had never touched her. She had learned that boundary years ago. Whatever this was did not care about boundaries at all. After that night, things escalated, not dramatically, not all at once, just enough to be impossible to ignore. She was always cold now. Not the kind of cold that came from weather or illness, but a deep chill that lingered no matter how many layers she wore. There were days she couldn't remember at all, entire stretches of time missing, leaving her disoriented and frightened. She worried people would assume the obvious explanations. Drugs, alcohol, recklessness. None of that applied to her. She didn't drink. She didn't party. She avoided anything that might dull her senses. If anything, she was painfully aware, too aware, of her surroundings. Her father noticed things before she ever mentioned them. Objects sliding across tables without explanation. Items falling and shattering as if thrown. He didn't say much about it at first. He didn't want to scare her. But one night, after watching a glass move across a counter and strike the wall hard enough to break, he finally spoke. "This only happens when you were around," he said carefully. She had no answer for him. Her friends noticed too. People who lived in houses they already believed were haunted refused to let her visit. They didn't blame her openly, but the pattern was clear. Activity intensified when she stayed. Rooms felt heavier. Sleep became restless. Doors and objects misbehaved more aggressively. She didn't argue with them. She stopped going. What frightened her most wasn't the disbelief of others. It was the realization that she might be the reason things worsened, that whatever this was responded to her presence in a way it didn't respond to anyone else. She asked herself questions she had avoided for years. Why her? Why had she been the one left alone as a child while her brother was watched so carefully? Why had the adults in her grandparents' room spoken to her and not anyone else? Why had the house reacted violently the moment she contradicted her grandmother's belief that the ghosts were harmless? The answer that kept returning was not comforting, because she noticed, from the beginning she had always noticed, she saw what others overlooked, she sensed shifts before they registered, she recognized patterns that didn't make sense yet but would later. Awareness came naturally to her, as breathing did to others. An awareness she was beginning to understand could act like an invitation, not a deliberate one, but an opening all the same. She thought back to the girl who visited her, the one with red eyes. That presence had rules. It stayed within certain boundaries. It appeared, but it did not force. It had waited for her attention, and when denied, it had left. This new presence behaved nothing like that. It didn't wait. It didn't linger at a distance, it imposed itself. The more she tried to ignore it, the stronger it felt. The more she tried to rationalize, the colder she became. It fed not on fear, exactly, but on exhaustion, on doubt, on isolation. She began to realize that the house in Kelso had not been the source. It had been the first place where everything converged. A house heavy with history. A grandmother who believed, a child who paid attention, a family that carried stories without answers. Whatever had noticed her there had never truly let go. That didn't mean she was powerless, but it did mean she could no longer treat this as something accidental. She stopped trying to prove anything. She stopped explaining herself, and instead she focused on one thing, grounding. She anchored herself in routine, in daylight, in connection. She stopped spending long stretches alone when she felt drained. She spoke aloud, not to challenge what followed her, but to remind herself that she existed in the present, not in whatever space it was trying to pull her into. The activity didn't stop, but it changed. It became less aggressive, less immediate, as if something had realized it could not push as hard as it once had. She wasn't free, but she wasn't breaking anymore, and that distinction mattered. She stopped asking how to make it go away. That question had led her nowhere. Every attempt to explain, dismiss, or confront what followed her only seemed to tighten its grip. Instead, she began asking a different question, one that felt harder to face. Why me? Not in the sense of victimhood, but in the sense of pattern. When she looked back across her life, certain things stood out with unsettling clarity. She had always been observant, quiet, the kind of child who noticed what others overlooked and remembered what others forgot. She didn't rush through spaces. She lingered. She listened. And in her grandmother's house, belief had already existed before she ever spoke her first word. Stories had been told there for generations. Warnings had been given casually, as fact, not superstition. The house itself had been a vessel full of memory, repetition, and attention, and she had grown up inside it. She began to suspect that what followed her wasn't attached to her identity, but to her awareness. She had been open long before she understood what that openness meant. As a child, she hadn't questioned the adults she saw walking through rooms. She hadn't doubted the girl who sat on her bed. She hadn't resisted the way the world occasionally peeled back and showed her something underneath. She had accepted it. An acceptance she realized could be as powerful as fear. The presence that now troubled her, the one that could touch her, felt less like a ghost and more like pressure, like something that leaned into the spaces where she was tired, grieving, or alone. It didn't announce itself visually anymore. It didn't need to. It made itself known through sensation, through cold, through memory loss, through moments where her thoughts no longer felt entirely her own. That frightened her more than anything she had experienced as a child. She had spent years believing the house in Kelso was the origin of everything, but now she understood that it had simply been the first place where conditions aligned. A believing household, a sensitive child, a structure layered with time and unresolved presence. The house had not created the phenomenon. It had revealed it. When she accepted that, something shifted. She stopped framing herself as a conduit for chaos and began seeing herself as a boundary. Whatever followed her did not thrive on confrontation or belief. It thrived on passivity. On moments when she drifted too far inward, when she isolated herself and let exhaustion blur her edges. So she changed, not dramatically, not symbolically, practically. She stayed connected to people even when she didn't feel like it. She slept regular hours. She ate, rested, grounded herself in physical routine. She paid attention to her body in ways she never had before. When she felt the cold settle in, she didn't freeze. She moved. She spoke. She reclaimed space. And slowly, the presence retreated. Not entirely, but enough to give her room to breathe. The girl still appeared sometimes, but never closer than she had before. She remained an observer, distant, quiet. Whatever bond they shared no longer felt dangerous. It felt residual, a memory that hadn't fully faded. The darker presence, however, lost its immediacy. It no longer touched her. It no longer imposed itself publicly. It lingered at the edges, testing, waiting. And she stopped giving it what it wanted. She didn't need others to believe her. That need had kept her trapped for too long. This was her life, her experience, her reality. Validation would not save her. Only understanding would. She realized something else, too. Not everyone who notices the unseen is meant to engage with it. Some people notice because they are meant to withstand, to survive, to live anyway. Her life was not a ghost story. It was a life shaped by proximity to something that did not fully belong in it. And she was learning, slowly, deliberately, how to live without letting that proximity define her. Whatever followed her might always exist in some form. She no longer believed she could erase it completely, but she could outgrow it. And that, she knew now, was the difference between being haunted and being whole. She was no longer asking how to fix herself. She was learning how to stand.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Moto Casino, America.
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.